Well, I was looking back there as he had those sunglasses. He said, "Aren't these cool?" And then he put them on, spoiled the whole thing.
Cut that love offer
today. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse number 10 in just a few minutes. I was watching your board back here with the military. I appreciate that. We always do the special services to honor the military. Now, we have a couple more because we have some Coast Guard guys. And now we put the Space Force flag out there as well. So it's a little bit different than your board back there. But I told you this morning, I really like history. And our young people, I know we got some of our young people over here. I think that history is important for our young people to learn. If they don't know what has happened, the founding of our nation, the people that have sacrificed for our country, they lose something very important. And so I always like when I do chapel at school, I like to do, I am the chaplain of the Christian school as well, but I like to bring in, especially World War II history. And in 2008, we had an opportunity to do a special service where we honored World War II vets. We had four or five of World War II vets that were still alive at that time. We had a guest speaker that came in, Danny Webster, Congressman Danny Webster came and spoke, and he got an opportunity to speak to our military. But one of the blessings that I had was to go out and videotape an interview with each one of these World War II vets. I have, through the years, had an opportunity for World War II vets just to call. I don't know what it was, but they would just reach out to me and tell me things that have been burdened on their heart decades before. And a lot of times with the World War II vets, they didn't come back and share the stories with their family. And so many things, I may bring another one up, one of the other messages, but there's one story that I want to tell, and it goes right in with the message that we're going to speak tonight. One of the veterans is Brother Floyd. Brother Floyd came into the European theater after D-Day, and he went to the front lines, and he was a scout for the Army, and he had an opportunity to go behind enemy lines every evening to scout out where the troops were. He has a special brick. I don't know if you've ever been to Lake Eola there in Orlando. They have a section for Battle of the Bulge. And they have little bricks with the people that were in the Battle of the Bulge that were from Orlando. He's got a brick there. If you ever go there, look up Brother Floyd. Yeah, it is. But he gave a story as I began to videotape him. And he's written a book about this. I've got it in my bookcase. I wasn't able to pull it out at the time. But he was at the front lines in December of 1944. In December of 1944, the Allied troops had come to the very borders of Germany, and they were getting ready to go into Germany. Germany was in full retreat. The military at that time, all of their intelligence was that the war is going to be over very quickly, and that they would be able to go in to Germany and occupy the land very easily. They brought some fresh troops in to back up the troops that were there at that time in France. And as he went out every night, he would go and he would scout out what was going on. And there was one night that he went out, he scouted, and he realized that the German troops were amassing a large amount of soldiers and military hardware and everything ready just beyond what is, it's pronounced a couple of different ways, the Ardennes Forest. In fact, the Battle of the Bulge, sometimes it's called the Battle of Ardennes. And so he went out and he saw the military that was building up. He came back to his superior officer who was that next morning. He said, "Listen, they're getting ready to attack. They've amassed troops." And his superior officer said, "No." Said, "The war is almost over." They were back. They were enjoying a little bit of off time there. And as they were, said, and besides that, they wouldn't come through this forest. That'd be the most difficult thing for them to do, to try to get their armament through there. And he went out the next night, and the next night, the Battle of the Bulge began. overran all of the outposts that were there close. In fact, a lot of the troops were scattered. That particular battle lasted 6 weeks. On the Allied side, the side we were on, over 100,000 casualties. On the Axis side, there was over 67,000 casualties. As he was coming back after it began, he had to find his way back to the troops that were there. And he came across the place where the superior officer had had his time, where he was keeping his troops there, and they were all killed. The superior officer would not listen to him and pass on that information to his superiors. And so it began, it was a, and this is where the message comes in. You never know what the enemy is preparing in your life. You don't know if there's something that he's working behind the scenes, because our enemy never rests. He is a spiritual enemy that's going to attack us spiritually. You never know when that battle's going to occur, the next battle you're going to have in your life. But the Bible is there to tell us about what position we're in. So we're going to pick up reading in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we have the Word of God to give us information. Father, we thank you that we're not left out there with an enemy that you do not know about. You're on top of it all the time. Father, help us to put the armor of God on. Help us to always go to you for strength and the help in the time of the battle. Father, thank you for the victories, but Father, help us to be ever vigilant for the enemy that is out there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whenever you look at this passage, and we're going to go on down through this passage, and my mom always liked to use flannel graph. How many of you know what flannel graph is? How many over here know what flannel graph is? I did not think so. We had a flannel graph board, right? And on that flannel graph board, my mom would take and put a soldier up, right? And then they'd start putting up every little piece of armor, right? You know what I'm talking about. Now it would be PowerPoint. And as you look at this armor that's here, there's a purpose for God telling us this armor. Right. I want to look at several things as we go through here about the armor that God wants us to have to fight the enemy, to be the one that stands in the gap. Our missionaries stand in the gap for us on the foreign field. Our missionaries are fighting a spiritual battle. Back about 10, 12 years ago when the earthquake hit Haiti, We sent a medical missions down there. We went to the country, and it was in a mess. It was right after, in fact, the Port-au-Prince airport was not even open. We had to fly into the Dominican Republic and go cross country to get the supplies in and bring in a nurse with us. And we went into that, and we saw the destruction that was there. And one of the times, one of the missionary that was there took me up in the mountains. They have a children's home up in the mountains around Belladera in Haiti. And as he took me up there, he says, I want to introduce you to someone. And I said, okay. He says, they supported their home because his dad had left him property to plant crops. And that's how he supported the children's home that was there. He says, to get to that place, I've got to go right by the priest that's there, the voodoo priest. And I said, okay. He goes, now, when we go up there, they have the voodoo temple / disco. They combine everything. On the side wall, they have a mural that looks like Christ because they combine all of it. We drove by the voodoo tree with the chickens and all of that was there. They weren't Baptist. We know when Baptists get together, chickens die, right? But they're not Baptist. Yeah, that's right. And as we drove up there, we came to the place, and he was out in the kind of a porch area the priest was. He says, I want to introduce you to him. And so he brought me over there and says, this is Baptist pastor from the States. And the feeling that I had at that point was something I have a hard time describing. Spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. We do not understand what kind of battle we're in. The devil has us living our life just along as best we can and keeping us busy and doing things, and we forget that spiritual battle that's out there. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? We wrestle against high principalities on the spiritual plane. The devil will attack us at our weakest spiritual point. Now, the devil's not God. He doesn't have all the attributes of God, but he has knowledge about our weaknesses just by observing us and understanding who we are. And so the battle is on. The battle is there. And, you know, we're sitting here in an auditorium. I don't know where everybody's mind is. In other words, we can be up here preaching and somebody else is out there thinking something totally different. Because the battle is on for your mind. The battle is on for your heart. The battle is on because Satan knows that this is where the battle is taking place. This is the place where people of God, and by the way, the world out there, he doesn't have to worry about them too much. They're already wrapped up in that mess. But he wants to attack us because this is where the strength is. During this missions conference, we're going to have an opportunity to hear our missionaries. They're getting ready to go out on the field, or they've been out and they come back on furlough. They have a battle that's in front of them. Ireland, tough, tough, tough field. Very difficult. The atheists are all over the place there. Even those that claim to be Catholics are really atheists. They just do not understand the truth that we have to give them. We go out on difficult fields like that and years to win souls. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But notice our resources. Look at verse number 10 again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I don't have the power to defeat Satan. He's more powerful than I am. But he's not more powerful than God is. Not even close. Even infant, you can't even measure the difference between the power of God and the power of Satan. That's why we have to rely upon Him. That's why we have to read the Word of God and be in the Word of God. That's why we as young people have to be in the Word of God to understand that, hey, the devil wants you. It's a parade up in New York last year. We're coming for your kids. Do y'all remember that? That's absolutely the truth. The devil's coming for you. He's after you. And we just kind of let the world go. Can I step on toes a little bit? Be careful what your kids watch and what they see. Be careful what you put in their hand and say, oh, you're a fifth grader, you need this in your hand. Yep. With nothing to control it. You want to be real about that? Satan's going to use that to destroy lives. Parents are clueless. Be aware of what your kids are watching. Be aware of what... It's not TV anymore. Boy, years ago, I'm going to preach against the boob tube, right? Yeah. Don't watch TV. Now the screens have gotten this small. And the amount you can get on those screens is much different than the amount that you can get on the three stations. Anybody else remember that? You had the rabbit ears with the aluminum foil. Anybody else that had aluminum foil? Anybody start out with a black and white TV? Oh, you still have a black and white TV. Okay. UHF, VHF? Yeah, they don't have that anymore. And we would preach against the values that were being taught on there. A little bit of meddling. Now we laugh because the jokes or about the immorality. Husbands and wives cheating on each other. People full of fornication outside of marriage. And all of the shows that were out there. And we leave the TV on. You don't think that that goes in the ear and then in the brain and then the heart? Be careful. I'm not even going to get through half of my message tonight. I'm not even through this. It's His might. We have to make a determined effort to say, okay, we got to turn that stuff off. We got to leave it alone. We got to say no. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Hollywood really loves us, don't they? They really want us to succeed. But the truth is, the devil is using every means they can to tear us down. Put the phone down. Speak to your wife. Speak to your husband. Talk to your kids. Have the opportunity to share in the Word of God with your family. You know the institutions that God established, right? He established the family. He established government. He established the church. The very first one was the family. And that's where Satan wants to tear us down. You want to have a successful family? Spend time in the Word of God together. Know your enemy. But notice something here. It says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. You realize that we are complete in Christ? That there's nothing that God that we need that God does not provide for. So it says, take and put the whole armor of God on. If you read the scriptures, you find that Christ is there. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Right? We are complete in Christ. He provides those things that we need if we just surrender and do what God wants us to do. Once again, down in verse 13, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Take every opportunity to avail yourselves of the benefits of the things that happen when you accepted Christ as your Savior. You have the Holy Spirit now dwells within you. The Word of God to instruction, the instruction book for our life. Take those together because God has given us everything we need to be successful in our Christian life. We are complete in Him. Scripture says here in verse number 13, and this is where we fail sometimes. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. I'm going to stop right there with a comma. Stand. We're fighting a battle. We have an election coming up. And in Florida, there is Amendment number 4. And I don't know if there's something like it in Texas or not. But Amendment number 4 is placed on our state constitution, which allows killing babies in the womb all the way up through the 9th month. It's disguised as freedom. We have had a state legislature and Senate and governor and Supreme Court that has passed legislation, basically a heartbeat bill, 6-week bill, to save the life of children. That's on the books right now. That's the law right now. If Amendment 4 passes, abortion, killing babies, I don't like to use the word abortion, killing babies is going to be legal in Florida, and probably the most conservative state that you can find. Okay, Texas maybe, all right. But you understand that people are being lied to. Yeah. Yep. We got a group coming in this week at our church, bringing in from other states, about 400 people that are going to come and canvass our area, educating people on what Amendment 4 is all about. That's important. Got the sign out front, no on Amendment 4, you know how that goes. And I know I'm in Texas, I don't know if you, do you have anything like that on the ballot here? No. You understand that taking a stand on the life of a baby is important. Oh, yeah. told you this morning about the young man that I led to the Lord. And Eric got close to them. Eric and Dee Dee. And they tell you this. They give their testimony all the time. So I'm not talking about them in Texas where I wouldn't talk about them in Florida. But they were having their problems off and on. They came to me and said, "Pastor, would you marry us?" And this is how, after I'd seen them break up and get back together, break up and get back together, break up, get back together. And I said, "Well, if you will live apart for X amount of time and come back to me and say, 'Yes, I want to get married now.'" I don't always do this with couples. I said, "Now, if you want to go get married now, go to the courthouse. But if you want me to marry you, separate. Make sure you date each other. Make sure you get to know each other. You work out the details before the marriage take place."
Yeah.
They came to me, and this is months. They had also were on again, off again for a little bit. They came to me after maybe a year and said, "Well, we've done what you asked us to do. Will you marry us?" So I performed a wedding ceremony December 23rd. I forget what year it was. But they got married, and immediately she got pregnant. They had been apart. It was great. It was a wonderful thing. And then, just beginning with the pregnancy, she hadn't really, wasn't really, you know, showing like, we have any pregnant women here? I'm not going to use them as an illustration. Don't raise your hand. But she wasn't showing that much, and not at all. And she calls us up in the middle of the night, 20 and a half weeks along, says, "I'm in labor." And so we get dressed, we rush up to the hospital. By the time we got there, the baby had been delivered. The doctor told them this: "Listen, these a baby Christian, and a Christian that hadn't been close to the Lord for a long time, comes to the doctor. And as the doctor begins to deliver the child, he says, 'Well, the child will not make a sound. It's not going to live. It's only 20 and a half weeks along. It's not going to live.'" And these immature Christians look at the doctor and say, "Well, we're going to pray. You do what you do, and God will do what God wants to do."
Amen.
The baby was delivered. Is immediately, they said, "We're not going to make any sounds. The vocal cords aren't developed." And all of a sudden, they start hearing the squeaking of the baby. They take the baby and they take him to the neonatal care unit, NIC unit. They call it the DO unit. They're in Arnold Palmer. And that baby is now 22 years old. We went up to see them, and they said, "Well, you're going to be our mom and dad, because they'll let you go in as our mom and dad." So I'm going in with Eric, and Janice gets to go in with Dee Dee. But I go in with Eric. Of course, they get you all the dressed up and everything like that. You walk in, and the baby was no bigger than the hand.
Wow.
The foot was no bigger than that.
Wow.
So we go in there. Remember, Eric's a baby Christian, right? We go in there and in the incubator where they're at, and he turns around to the nurse. I'm already there. He says, "Well, this is my pastor." "Oh, okay." He says, "We've got some holy water if you want to baptize the baby." Eric looks to me and he goes, "Do I need to do that?" Let me tell you, God is a God of miracles. You know what they used to say is a baby is not survivable until at least 23 weeks. That used to be there. Yeah, and now they found out that the baby is still a baby.
Yeah.
Even young. Let me tell you, we have to take a stand on these things. We have to take a stand on the freedom that God has allowed us. We have some people that say, "Well, Christians shouldn't vote." Well, God gave us that privilege in a godly nation. We had a voter register. Now I'm getting sidetracked here. I'm so sorry. It's Sunday night, right? All right. We had a voter registration drive at the church, and all we did was set up a table, right? The Orange County elections came in to They don't tell you who to sign up for, anything like that. They just say voter registration. We had one lady that, well, you shouldn't mix church and state. Well, I believe that we ought to be a Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We ought to take a stand. When it says stand, the armor of God means there's a reason why we stand. And we withstand the devil when we stand for God. It says here, it says in the scripture, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand, stand therefore. Take that stand, having your loins good about with truth. You realize that there is the foundation of everything we accept is truth. This is truth. Truth isn't what you believe and what I believe, it's what God says. That's truth. That is our foundation. Stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, in truth, talking about truth, in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, into all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by the very joint, supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. If you don't have truth, you don't have a foundation. What did Jesus say? I am the way and the life. If you don't have that foundation, there's nothing you can build upon. Next is the righteousness. Oh, I need to be a really good person. No, we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And found in him, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It is his righteousness, not ours. Because our righteousness are as filthy rags. The next one, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, a lot of times when I've preached through this, I miss that word preparation. If we're gonna be where we need to be, there's some preparation that needs to take place. We need to be prepared with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. The Word of God. You know, most Christians are not prepared for what the world has out there for us. If there's a question that comes up, do you know the answer according to what God's truth says? Do you have an answer to give those? You know, there's a world full of confusion. We talked about a little bit this morning. Don't know the difference between a man and a woman. I think they only have 26 genders because they run out of letters. But in truth, the Bible says, male and female created he them. You want to have truth? How about following the science? You have confusion about that? Oh, you're a hater. No, we're not. People are destroying their lives with this foolishness that's out there. And they're coming after our kids. Let me get really specific. There are people out there, influencers, that take this. That's a screen, by the way. They take the screen, and kids search for it, and they find this influencer that tells them what to say to their parents. I've always felt this way. Lie. Oh, it's going to make me suicidal. Boy, what that puts the weight that it puts on the parents. There's a group in a certain town, and I won't go any further than that. They have a special program where they take the best out of elementary school and take them into high school. They keep them together, the best and the brightest. And of that group of about 20 girls, over half of them claimed to be non-binary. That is an impossibility, even if you accept that possibility. But that's what the world does. You don't think it hurts? It hurts the parents. It hurts the child. It takes years to recover from that. Protect your kids. Make sure that you know what they're watching. Make sure that their influence is here and not there. Make sure that in the battle for their mind and their heart, the battle for their very existence, that it's grounded on the truth of the Word of God and that there's a foundation that they have. Prepare. Prepare with the Word of God. Know what the Word of God says. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. You know what faith is. You have a lot of definitions. There is you're of the Baptist faith. Different word than what's used here. Or the faith that you have in something or someone. The Bible term, belief, faith, and trust, all come from the same word. And it has to do with putting your dependency upon God. The God of the universe, who knows everything about you, putting everything you have in dependency with Him. Talk about salvation for just a minute. By the way, how much time do I have?
When you're done, brother.
When you're done. When I'm done. I thought, I'm done. That word is a very interesting word. Anybody here have a safety deposit box? All right. If you have a safety deposit box, it's in a bank. You got a little box that's there, and you have a key, and the bank has a key, and you go in there, and whatever you want valuable, you put in that safety deposit box, and you put that in there, and you lock the door, and you walk away and go home. You feel very comfortable because your valuables are now in trust with the bank. You have faith in the bank that your valuables are going to be taken care of. You're put in trust with the bank. You take the most valuable thing that you have in existence, that's your eternal soul, and you put it in trust with God. Now, in this world, that bank may be robbed, there might be a fire, there might be a tornado, hurricane, you know, whatever, come through and destroy. And the only thing that keeps that safe is the ability of the thing you put it in trust with. In other words, if the bank isn't trustworthy, right, whatever you put in with them is not kept safe. But I've put my soul in trust with Jesus Christ. Amen. And my soul is in trust. It's not in trust with me. It's not in trust with the church. It's not in trust with anything else. It's in trust with Jesus Christ. And by the way, nobody's breaking into that bank. Nobody's going to tear that down. Because we're in trust with Jesus Christ. We have eternal security. Forever. That's our God. That's salvation. Now, the next step in faith is if you put the most important thing in your existence in trust with God, everything else is under there. Your daily needs, your family, your spouse. Everything else is a little bit lower than what you've already put in trust with Christ. So why can't we depend upon Him for those needs that we have today? Faith. Do you have that kind of faith to say, whatever it is, I've got faith in Christ. He, by the way, is always faithful. If we're not, He is. When we fail, He's still faithful. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When I have trust in God, He's greater than Satan. He takes care of the fiery darts. Doesn't mean we don't go through struggles, but He's there with us all the way. There's a lot of different stories in the Scripture about people exercising faith. I always go back to the three Hebrew children, right? They're getting ready to go in the fiery furnace, and they speak up to King. And they say, hey, we understand that you're going to put us into the fiery furnace, and God will deliver us. And then they say, but if not, He's talking about if they go through the fiery furnace and come out with their freedom, He's rescued them. If they go into the fiery furnace and He decides, okay, it's time for them to be, take their life and come with me to heaven, He's still delivered.
Right.
You can't threaten a Christian with death. God's always there. Faith. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I always bothered me because I didn't understand it, because there's no bother. But why salvation is put in the last. But let me tell you, there's so many Christians that doubt, that the devil can put doubt in there about their salvation. Be assured of your salvation. How can you help somebody with what they don't have when you're having problems with the same thing? How can you be a testimony unless you have that helmet of salvation? And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I don't know how your Bible reading goes, how much study you do. There's a lot of different ways to study the Word of God. There's reading it. There's meditating upon it. The Bible teaches both of those, to study and meditate. But when it's like this, nothing is happening. When I was in New Mexico, we would go out and talk about Ernie. He would take me out as a silent partner, right? And he would go out to a certain area of town and where the Spanish-speaking people were. Of course, I couldn't say. He would be saying something, and he would turn around and say something to me in Spanish, and I'm going, he forgot to switch back to English. And the people, he would say, well, do you have a Bible? And most of the times they wouldn't. I watched it multiple times where they would go into a closet and they had a family Bible up in the top of the closet. And they would bring it down very carefully. It was wrapped in plastic to make sure it was taken care of. And they would bring it in very carefully to Ernie and hand it to him because he wanted to lead them to the Lord out of their own Bible. And so he would and then he'd start folding the pages. I watched their eyes get this big. What are they doing? He's opening it up. And begin to read them out of the Word of God. How many Bibles do we have that remain unopened? How blessed are we? It doesn't do us any good like this. The Word of God. And the last one. And by the way, when Paul said finally, he meant there's two more chapters. And finally, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto and with all perseverance and supplication of all saints. I think probably the weakest area I know of my life, probably most Christians, is prayer. Prayer. And the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We pray in emergencies. We use God as a fire extinguisher. Oh, we've got a fire in our life. Let's go grab prayer to put it out. Invariably, people will come up and they'll say, Brother Newby, will you pray for me? And I will stop right there at the end of the service and pray with them. But then I say, you know, you can pray also. You have the same access I have to God. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Young people over here, you realize that when you bow your head and pray, that you have the same access to God that anyone else has. Pastor? Same access. We're before the very throne of grace in heaven. When you read the book of Hebrews, you know what it talks about? It talks about the tabernacle and the holy of holies, and they say this is a picture of what's in heaven. And we get to come to the Lord and say, Abba, Father. And God will intercede for us even when we can't form the words. The Spirit itself maketh intercession with us with groanings that can't be uttered. Why? Because God makes intercession for us even when we've got something on our heart that we can't express. That's the kind of God we have. And I fail. I fail to take advantage of the most powerful thing that we have, and that's prayer. Prayer. I got another message on prayer. I don't know if I'm going to preach that one this week or not. We need to pray. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our family. We need to pray for our pastor. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our enemies. Oh, that's tough. Do good to them that despisefully use you. Pray for them. Pray for them. That's important. You know, God will change your attitude. You've heard the phrase, prayer changes things. It doesn't change God. It changes us. It changes us. You start praying for somebody and you know what? The difficulties you have with that person, some become a little less significant as you pray. We have the armor given to us. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to stand? Are we going to sit back? What are we going to do with that armor? We're going to use it. We're going to let the faith and dependency upon God be our strength when the battles come. You're either in a time of trouble, or you've just come out of a time of trouble, or you're getting ready to go into a time of trouble. Man is full of trouble. That's what the Bible says. And some of you out there, man, we've lived a life long enough to know that that's the way it is. We need the armor of God to fight those battles. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the armor that you give us. Father, we thank you for the strength that we can depend upon you when the difficult things of life happen. Father, I don't know in this room tonight what people are going through in battles in their own life. Father, I know that sometimes people come to church and they're in the middle of strife. Maybe they've had a battle with their spouse or with their kids, or maybe they're having a problem at work. Maybe there's somebody they're just struggling with. Maybe there's problems with finances, or maybe there's problems with health. Father, whatever the stress is at this time, Father, don't let the devil get the victory. Help us depend upon you for those things that we need to remain victorious in this life. Father, help us to take on the armor of God. Father, I pray that if there's one here tonight that does not know you as their Savior, Father, I know it's a Sunday night, but if they don't know for sure they'll have a home in heaven, or maybe the devil has put doubts in their mind and they need to get assurance, Father, I pray that they would take care of that tonight. Father, if those Christians that are here, Father, that you've burdened them with something in their life, maybe something in the message and your word has touched their heart. The Holy Spirit is working. Father, I pray that they would make decisions tonight. Father, that they would do what God would have them to do. In Jesus' name. Pastor.